Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. And it's a celebratory drink this time around. Penn State beats Wisconsin 22-10. We'll talk all about that. We'll go around the Big Ten. We got a Big Ten West champion. Somehow, some way, Northwestern is the Big Ten West champion. They will be playing for a Big Ten title in a few weeks. Ask Greg, the fourth and final segment of the show, your questions on Penn State football, Penn State recruiting, whatever else, romantic dates, walks on the beach, whatever you want to ask Greg. If you have the Keystone Sports app, click the Ask Greg button, fire off a question, and we'll use it on the air. So 22-10, Greg. You know, I'm struggling, I guess, to make, you know, to draw the right conclusions here, because I thought it was a sound win.
Yeah.
I thought some of the odd tendencies of almost trying to give games away showed up a little bit. Wisconsin just wasn't in a position to take it. But I do know that 7-3 has to feel a lot better than 6-4. If you're sitting at 7-3, you still have hopes for 9-3, certainly with Rutgers or Maryland on the schedule, and maybe even double-digit wins. So I felt like the loser of this game was going to have to answer a lot of questions and figure some things out. That is Wisconsin at 6-4 now.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a particularly great Wisconsin team. I mean, Jack Cohn was terrible. And even still, Penn State found a way to get stuck a little bit in the mud as it relates to closing out this game. I mean, look, Wisconsin was never a threat to win the game, as far as I'm concerned. Once Penn State got up a score, that was pretty much it. But they were unable to put the Badgers away. The Tommy Stevens, Miles Sanders motion fumble snap exchange deal was obviously not good. And, you know, at the end of the day, a win is a win, but it was another sloppy and frustrating one. But, you know, you take them any way you can get them in Big Ten play, whether you're home or away. Now you get ready to go to Rutgers, which should be another win in front of, I don't know, maybe 10,000, if not that. You know, so we'll see. But if you thought, you know, whatever you thought of this weekend's win, I think that the important thing to remember is that it might certainly lock in a Florida Bowl game, if not something more for this team, as it keeps trying to build in the James Franklin era.
Yeah, I think as far as bowl positioning, this was a pretty crucial game, because Wisconsin would be another team that head-to-head Penn State would be on the criteria with. And to win this game, I think, as you said, secured a decent bowl destination, all but secures 9-3. Looking back to when Penn State played Wisconsin the last time, you know, you look at Wisconsin's formula, right? They're always going to have big dudes up front. They're always going to try to run that power run game, and they're usually going to be successful with that. I think the difference between making them a national player and making them, you know, what they are this season is, first and foremost, the defense. You know, I think they've had defenses that haven't been truly elite, but if you look at that 2016 defense with T.J. Watt, you know, they were among the national leaders in interceptions going into that Big Ten title game. They were making plays on that side of the ball and complementing that run game. I think making just a handful of plays in the passing game.
Yep.
Just a handful. And they made none against Penn State. Penn State had something to do with that. But this is not a Wisconsin team that can win any other way if the game goes off script. I felt like this game, even though they got that early 71-yard touchdown run from Jonathan Taylor, went off script for them right away. You know it's saying something. I lay more of this at the feet of Wisconsin than I give credit to Penn State. But when Penn State has 34 minutes almost of possession time, that is a problem for a Wisconsin team that is built on possession time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Penn State outsnapped them, had more time of possession, which really I think wasn't the game script that most expected, and that's one of the reasons Penn State was able to kick away to victory on Saturday. So, yeah, we'll see how it all plays out here now moving forward, but I thought some of the snap counts that we'll get into were as interesting. I thought some of the personnel usage that Penn State had was pretty interesting, and at the end of the day, you know, Penn State was able to, settle too often for field goals, but it was able to take advantage of Wisconsin mistakes and didn't let Wisconsin really get going. And you're right. I mean, Paul Chryst, Badgers teams have pretty much done the same thing over and over again for years, and they do it really, really well. Just felt like this Badgers team didn't do anything very well. They obviously run the football, and Jonathan Taylor popped a few, but other than that, they were no threat to win this game.
How about the performance? I felt like the story of the game was Penn State's defense, Penn State's defensive line. And the game script fed into it a little bit, and it's pretty telling whenever the last, I don't know, 7-8 minutes of the game when Wisconsin's trying to play comeback football, their best player's not on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not a three-down back. He's not a guy who's going to do a lot of work on third down. I don't think I really knew that about his usage, but you know, that played into Penn State's favor for sure. But with that in mind, and with the full knowledge that Wisconsin was going to have to drop back and pass, these guys were unleashed. And I thought it was the best performance of the year for the D linemen, probably for the defense too, with the caveat that Wisconsin just wasn't in the second half of that game, just wasn't really itself.
Exactly. So what I thought was interesting was the defensive end and the defensive tackles, the starters played over 85 or right around 85% of the snaps. I mean, all we've heard for 5 years now is rotation, 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 rotation. Well, guess what? You want to step up and beat a team that does one thing, and that's run the ball well. Late in the season in Big Ten play, guess what? You ride your best guys. Penn State did that. Kevin Givens didn't really end up on the stat sheet all that much, but I thought he had a really nice game. Robert Windsor, of course, with 2 sacks. Probably the best game of Ettore Grossmato's career, and it feels like we could say that every week. He was just explosive and is really, really trending the correct way. Sharif Miller had a nice outing, too. So, yeah, I thought the story of the game was the lines, absolutely, the Penn State's defensive line. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you know, James Franklin was unfortunately not asked to address flipping Ryan Bates to right tackle and Will Fries to left tackle. It's been a very weird progression there, Dustin, because two or three weeks ago now, Matt Limegrover said that Chaz Wright was playing because Will Fries had some technical things to work on, some difficulties. Then a week later, Will Fries sees the bulk of the snaps at right tackle. Then he flips over to the left side and starts there on Saturday. So it's been a weird couple of weeks for that offensive line, but it reminds you a little bit of what they did at the end of the 2017 season. They had pretty good results down the stretch there, and I think that, you know, that means that moving forward, Penn State should really like where things stand with that line. It obviously can still be better, but it's moving in the right direction.
Well, Bates on the right side, Fries on the left side is what I think we spent the offseason kind of anticipating that. So to see it go that way now basically says we were right and the coaching staff was wrong. I don't know any other conclusion to draw.
There's probably none. I can't think there's any.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're recapping Penn State, Wisconsin, the segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com for the best single game RV value in Happy Valley. Still a game to go against Maryland. Check out GoPSURV.com. Awesome RVs you can get and rent for individual games. Free shuttle to the game, a projection TV in the parking lot, free Wi-Fi, and you can enjoy tailgating with 409 barbecue and wine along with Labatt Blue Beer. Go to GoPSURV.com for all the details for that Maryland game. I thought just a good performance by the defense. And I think the talking point after this game was really anticipating what this group is going to look like next season, because you've seen it start to round into form here, and I don't think there's any real key. You know, you look at Over Warrior moving on, Koa Farmer moving on, Nick Scott moving on, but you know, I think otherwise, you know, Over Warrior is the big loss there, but otherwise, right, all of your potential game wreckers are coming back, and there's so many guys that you can anticipate are just going to build on what they did this season. And you know, to your point, Ettore Grossmato's, you said, is his best game of the year. He is week in, week out showing up. And the awesome thing about him is that he's long and powerful and fast.
Yep.
And against these Wisconsin guys, enormous offensive linemen, I was really impressed with the hand usage. And they just weren't able to get their hands on him a lot of the time. And he was just making plays. And there's no reason to believe that was going to stop. He is a true sophomore. This was his explosive growth that's starting to happen now. But they're going to get after the passer. Linebacker play you expect is going to be better. I'm curious what's going to happen at safety. You feel good about cornerback depth that you lose Imani Oruwariye. You'll still be able to play some pretty lockdown coverage. It could be a really good group next year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's a you know, you see Micah Parsons take stride every week. You see Cam Brown continue to take strides weekly. A lot of the secondary guys will be back, as you mentioned. I mean, Sharif Miller is going to have a stay or go decision. I don't know why. I don't have any really good gut, anything other than a good gut feeling to back that up. But yeah, so we'll see what he decides to do. But yeah, I mean, this could be a very good Penn State defense, but they need to keep developing up the middle. There's no question about it. I mean, they do like to play their backups and their rotational guys. They just really haven't been able to all that much this year. They've been riding the starters pretty hard. They need to see some development from those other guys. But yeah, I mean, to your point, you know, moving forward, I think I really like the progress I've seen from this group over the last couple of weeks. I think Brent Pry and all of his coaching staff has done a really nice job developing these guys and getting them ready for game day with a game plan that fits their strengths. So it's been smart the way they've attacked, you know, I really have attacked things the last few weeks.
So some would say, as the defense continues to evolve, that finally Micah Parsons played a large percentage of the snaps. We've seen him around that 50, 55, 60% of snaps played. And really, I don't know what it was, whether it was a, you know, a tip of the cap to Koa Farmer or what, but it was pretty clear to a lot of people, about around the midway point of the year that Micah Parsons just needed to be on the field more. And I think, you know, in this game, according to our guy, what's our snap count guy's name? Steve. So we have somebody who does these snap counts and they submit them to us, which is
fantastic. Thank you.
A hell of a lot of work yeah. to do, but God bless him for it. Had Mike at 86% of the snaps, 40 as many as Cam Brown. So if you wanted to see more of Micah Parsons, you're seeing it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're going to see more of it at Rutgers this weekend. Ellis Brooks, I think, should probably get some more run too. This is a weird game coming up here because Rutgers is so bad that I think you have to fight the urge to play a lot of young guys early on because Penn State, I'm not saying they're going to, you know, get out to a 28-0 lead at the end of the first quarter, but they could very well get out to a 28-0 lead at the end of the first quarter. So it'll be interesting to see how Penn State balances wanting to keep its veterans out there and obviously give them the experience and the reps that they need to keep improving while also knowing that this is about as good a chance as you're ever going to get in regular season play to play a conference team and get young guys in there in a road environment, albeit not a hostile one, and take a chance and see what guys can do. So, you know, Justin Shorter saw a lot of snaps against Wisconsin. Maybe it's Daniel George's turn against Rutgers. We'll see. I'm sure they're both being saved for the bowl game. So, yeah, we'll see how it all works out, but certainly they'll have a chance to get more of those young guys in starting this week.
I think on that note, you have to take care of business first because Rutgers scores on a long touchdown run against Michigan, and it's 7-7 in the first quarter. You just have to slam the door first and mm-hmm. then start messing around with some of these young guys. Isaiah Pacheco scored on a long touchdown. He ended up with 142 yards against Michigan. You know, you take care of business against Rutgers, and you get to sprinkle in some more of these young guys. I want to see more of Ellis Brooks. I want to see more, you know, Jonathan Sutherland. And I think this game and maybe the season finale will be a chance to do that. We're not done talking about Wisconsin, though. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and start to recap. Maybe look at, on the offensive side of the ball some more. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.